by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Money Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine. Every day we have a different topic and we try and talk about that. And the idea is that we try to make us think, to make us reflect, to make us ultimately make a change in our lives for the better. Because as every Muslim, the aim of every Muslim ultimately is to attain paradise. And to attain that, the only way you can attain that is through the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the pleasure of His beloved. So we need to know what are those things that we should be doing, what are those things that we should be refraining from. And also at the same time, we try and talk about our rich personalities, our rich heritage, so we can learn from them and be proud of our history. Today we have a topic that we've probably talked about a million times. Let's be honest, we've probably talked about this a million times, but we're still not getting through. We're still not getting through. And so inshallah, we're going to continue to talk about this topic until the day comes, inshallah, where every Muslim around the world is habitual upon this act that we're going to talk about today. But before we begin, we'll give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It's narrated that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, that whoever recites Salat upon me 100 times, Allah Azza wa Jal writes between both of his eyes that he is free from hypocrisy and he is free from the hellfire, and will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. 100 times we use the Mother Channel. 100 times. How hard is that? A few minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, let's say 5 minutes. Can you not spare 5 minutes? And for the sake of 5 minutes daily, you'll be sitting with those masses on the day of judgment, inshallah. Viewers of the channel, if you watch Rise and Shine, you know that after we give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak, we also listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, inshallah. We're now going to listen, have the pleasure, have the benefit of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's go listen to the Quran. Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون.
کیا لوگوں کو بھلائی کا حکم دیتے ہو اور اپنی جانوں کو بھولتے ہو حالانکہ تم کتاب پڑھتے ہو، کیا تمہیں عقل نہیں؟
واستعینوا بالصبر والصلاة وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ.
اور صبر اور نماز سے مدد چاہو، اور بے شک نماز ضرور بھاری ہے مگر ان پر جو دل سے میری طرف جھکتے ہیں.
الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.
جنہیں یقین ہے کہ انہیں اپنے رب سے ملنا ہے اور اسی کی طرف پھرنا.
یا بنی اسرائیل اذکروا نعمتی التي انعمت علیکم وانی فضلتکم علی العالمین.
اے اولاد یعقوب، یاد کرو میرا وہ احسان جو میں نے تم پر کیا، اور یہ کہ اس سارے زمانے پر تمہیں بڑائی دی.
واتقوا يوما لا تجزي نفس عن نفس شيئا ولا يقبل منها شفاعة ولا يؤخذ منها عدل ولا هم ينصرون.
تنصرون اور ڈرو اس دن سے جس دن کوئی جان دوسرے کا بدلہ نہ ہو سکے گی اور نہ کافر کے لیے کوئی سفارش مانی جائے اور نہ کچھ لے کر اس کی جان چھوڑی جائے اور نہ ان کی مدد ہو۔
وَإِذْ نَجَّيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُونَكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ۔
اور یاد کرو جب ہم نے تم کو فرعون والوں سے نجات بخشی کہ تم پر برا عذاب کرتے تھے، تمہارے بیٹوں کو ذبح کرتے اور تمہاری بیٹیوں کو زندہ رکھتے، اور اس میں تمہارے رب کی طرف سے بڑی بلا تھی یا بڑا انعام۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. What are we going to talk about today, viewers of Mother Channel? I'm going to share with you a story, an individual that had newly accepted Islam. He'd come and accepted Islam. He'd been a Muslim maybe for 10 months, 12 months. And I had the fortunate opportunity to meet him after this time. And when I met him after this time, I was generally asking him how he was and how his Ramadan had been. And he was telling me that it had been his first Ramadan and he'd enjoyed it, alhamdulillah. But then he asked a question, because he lived in an area of the UK where there was very, very few Muslims, and he wasn't in a lot of general contact with Muslims, so he wasn't aware of what was actually happening within the Muslim community, so to speak. And he asked me a question, and he said to me that, "I want you to say no to the answer." And I said, "Okay, you've asked me the question, and you're going to ask me you've already decided what the answer is." He said, "No, I just want to make sure." And he said to me that, "I have been told that there are Muslims who don't pray the Salah. Tell me this is not true." You tell me, how could I answer that question? And I was speechless. I put my head down, I went quiet, I couldn't really say anything. And he was shocked. He was genuinely shocked, and he said, no, it's impossible. How is it possible that this can happen? He could not believe, viewers of Mother Channel, that how is it possible for a Muslim not to pray his namaz 5 times a day? And unfortunately, today we realize, viewers of Mother Channel, that if Muslims read the namaz, they are in a minority. They are in a minority. The minority is the Muslims that read namaz. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was a direct order for him. There are so many commands in the Holy Quran regarding salah. There is no excuse for us to say that we do not know it is obligatory upon us to read namaz. And I think every Muslim around the world is taught at a very, very young age that the namaz 5 times a day is obligatory upon you. And yet still, unfortunately, we do not pray our namaz. Viewers of Mother Channel, today we're going to talk about the blessings of namaz. We're going to talk about how the destruction of those that do not read namaz. And again, the intention is, viewers of Mother Channel, that those amongst us, you know, because this is a religious channel. Mother Channel is a religious channel. So most of the people that are watching this program today have an Islamic mindset anyway. So maybe there are people amongst us that, alhamdulillah, do read our namaz 5 times a day. And there probably, inshallah, there'll be a lot of people here. But there may be people here that miss the odd one, you know, maybe lazy a few times in it. Or maybe there'll be people here that don't read the salah. And my intention today is that I want to encourage those people, want those people to realize how important it is for them to read the salah. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that. But those of you that watch Rise and Shine know that at this time, after the Talawat of the Quran, we then listen to the Kalam of the day. And inshallah, we're now going to go to the daily Kalam, our Nathwanda Hassan Raza Attari, mashallah. And let's see what our Nathwan has for the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lam yati naziruka fi nazarin. Lam yati naziruka fi nazarin. Misle to na shud paida jana. Misle to na shud paida jana. Jag raj ko taj tore sar su. Jag raj ko taj tore sar su. Hai tujhko shage do sara jana hai. Tujhko shage do sara jana hai. Tujhko shage do sara jana. Al-Baghir ہوش روبا مجدار میں ہوں بگڑی ہے ہوا مجدار میں ہوں بگڑی ہے ہوا موری نیا پار لگا جانا موری نیا پار لگا جانا موری نیا پار لگا جانا موری نیا بدر فل وجہ اجمل لقا بدر فل وجہ اجمل خط حالا معذور ابرے اجل خط حالا معذور ابرے اجل تر چندن چندر پرو کندل چور تورے چندن چندر پرو کندل تورے چندن چندر پرو کندل رحمت کی بھرن برسا جانا رحمت کی بھرن برسا جانا رحمت کی بھرن برسا جانا انا فی عطش و سخاکاتم انا فی عطش و سخاکاتم اے گیسو پاکے ابرے کرم گیسو پاکے ابرے کرم برسن سارے ریم جم ریم جم برسن سارے ریم جم ریم جم ریم جم ریم جم ریم جم ریم جم بر سنہارے ریم جم ریم جم دو بوند ادھر بھیگے راجانا دو بوند ادھر بھیگے راجانا شولا دیگر پر زن عشق یک شولا دیگر پر زن عشق مورا تن من دن سب پھوک دیا مورا تن من دن سب پھوک دیا مورا تن من دن سب پھوک دیا یہ جان بھی پیارے چلا جانا 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 لم یاتی نظروں کفی نظر لم یاتی نظروں کفی نظر مثلے تو نہ شد پیدا جانا جگ راج کو تاج تو رے سر سو جگ راج کو تاج تو رے سر سو ہے تجھ کو شگے دوسرا جانا ہے تجھ کو شگے دوسرا جانا بس خامائے خامے نوائے رضا بس خامائے خامے نوائے رضا نائے طرز میری نائے رنگ میرا نائے طرز میری نائے رنگ میرا ارشاد احبانا تق تھا ارشاد احبانا تق تھا ناچار سراغا پرا جانا ناچار سراغا پرا جانا ناچار سراغا پرا جانا لم یاتی نظروں کا فی نظر مسلے تو نہ شد پیدا جانا جگ راج کو تاج تو رے سرسو جگ راج کو تاج تو رے سرسو ہے تجھ کو شہ دو سرا جانا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Our viewers of Mother Channel, welcome back. I hope that you enjoyed that. Every day at the beginning of the program, we try to give you a daily kalam, inshallah, to wake us up. And obviously the kalams, the naats, they are there to instill love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. The love of anything that's associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Masjid al-Nabawi, the city of Medina, everything there, inshallah. So hopefully, if we learn to listen to them, learn to understand them, then inshallah, ultimately we can increase the love in our hearts. Viewers of the channel, today what are we talking about? Today we're talking about the importance of our salah. And it's a topic that we've probably heard a million times. But have we got the message through it? Are we habitual now in our reading namaz? Are we reading our namaz with full concentration? Are we reading our namaz to the extent that when we are there, then we are there and we are nowhere else? And unfortunately, in the majority of the cases, that is not the case. And so that's why we want to continuously to talk about this, so that slowly by slowly, in the same way that they say that when drops of water fall on a stone, when drops of water fall on the stone, by them drops falling on the stone, it can make a hole in the stone. It can change the shape of a stone. Drops of water can change the landscape in a countryside, and it can make a whole change just by drops of water. And if we continue to give these drops of water, these drops of knowledge with regards to salah, then inshallah, slowly, slowly, hopefully, there'll be a change in our lives. Views of Mother Channel is narrated that Sayyidina Amr bin Dinar, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, said that a sister of a person died in the city of Medina, and so she was buried after her funeral lights. When his brother reached home, he recalled they had forgotten the bag of dirhams in the grave. He went to the grave with the person, removed the earth off the grave, and found the bag. He then said to the one who was with him, "You just go a little way away. Just can you just go to one side? I want to see the condition of my sister." So the person that was with him went at a distance, and he removed a brick and saw that fire was blazing in the grave. He quickly closed the grave and went home to his mother, and he asked about his sister. And, you know, he asked about his sister, what did his sister used to do? What was her acts? What do you think she did that wasn't right? And the mother replied that your sister used to offer salah after the stipulated time of salah. And I think she also sometimes offers salah without wuzu as well. Furthermore, she used to spy on the secrets of neighbors outside the doors when they were resting. Views of Mother Channel. Allahu Akbar, the punishment for this sister in the grave. Why? Because she sometimes offered her salah after the stipulated time. Sometimes she offered her salah without performing wuzu, and sometimes she used to spy on the secrets of our neighbors. For someone is punished that much for offering the salah after the time. What will happen to us who don't offer our salah? What will happen to us who don't offer our salah altogether? What is going to be the condition of our grave? If that is the condition of a grave of someone that used to offer the salah after the stipulated time, offer it late. Allahu Akbar, viewers of the channel, we need to be wary of this. We need to be afraid of this. And you know, I think what happened, viewers of the channel, we try to forget that we're going to die. We think that we're going to live hereafter. And yet, when you ask that person, how long do you think you're going to live? He's never going to say, nobody will say, oh, I'm going to live forever. Nobody will claim that. Nobody will make that claim, but we act. We live our lives as if we are going to live forever. We live our lives in such a way that death is never going to come to us. But we all know, it's not something that, I'm not telling you anything new, viewers of the channel. I'm not telling you anything that you've never heard of before. We all know we're going to die. We all know that this is going to happen to us. And as Muslims, we all know that we have an accountability after we pass away. We all know that we're going to be accountable for our actions. We all know that we're going to be punished in that dark and lonely grave. And we all know the existence of paradise, and we all know the existence of the hellfire as well. And we all know that it is good deeds that take us to the paradise, and it's bad deeds and sins that take us to the hellfire. I'm not teaching you anything new, viewers of the channel. It's something that we were brought up with, something that we know, and we all know this, viewers of the channel. So why is it? Why is it that we forget about it? Why is it? Are we so engrossed in the dunya? And maybe that's what it is, viewers of the channel. Maybe the reason is is that we are blinded by the dunya. You know, they say that when horses race, some horses, they put blinkers on them. And blinkers are basically these eye coverings that cover the eyes like this. Yeah, cover to the... So the horse can't look to the right, it can't look to the... All it can see is in front of him. That's all it can see. And they put these blinkers on the horses so the horse doesn't get distracted. It doesn't get distracted by what the other horses are doing. It doesn't get distracted what they're doing, what they're doing. It doesn't get any distraction. All it can see is the road ahead. That's all it can see. I sometimes think that maybe we are wearing blinkers. And all we can see is the road ahead. All we can see is the dunya. All we can see is what is in front of us. We cannot see far enough in front of us to see what's going to happen. All we can see is literally the ground. And we're running after it, viewers of Mother Channel. The importance of Salah, viewers of Mother Channel. Allah Azza wa Jalla has also, we talk about those people that, you know, that when they get up in the namaz, and there are many of us, unfortunately, that when we read our namaz, we're not really there. We're not concentrating on our namaz. Our mind is elsewhere. We may have said Allahu Akbar and closed our hands, and whilst we're doing that, I think, acha, so after this program, I've got to book my car in for a service. I've got to go and get some milk and bread. I've got to go to the shop. Oh, and then I've got to meet that brother. And then I've got to do this. Yeah, and then I'll do that. And then the Imam Sahib says something and we go, okay, Allahu Akbar. And then I've got to do this. And all the namaz, our mind is elsewhere. Mind is wandering everywhere. We're thinking about this. We're not really in Salah. And all we're actually doing is where we are just standing there. And our mind is elsewhere. We are wandering elsewhere. Allah Azza wa Jalla used to say about the people that used to read the namaz for showing off as well, because there are, again, certain people amongst us that when we do read our namaz, when we read our namaz in the masjid, then, you know, very sincerely concentrating, lengthening our qiraat, our ruku, our sajda is very relaxed. And yet when we go home, it's get back to bed. You know, and it's so fast, so quick. And, you know, again, oh, you know, it makes you think that why are you reading your namaz? When you're reading your namaz in the masjid, you're reading it with sincerity, you're reading it with time, you're reading it with concentration, yet at home, you're reading it like this. Again, why? Why is this happening? And so many questions come to our mind that why is this happening? And so many answers are possibly there of why this is happening. But you need to ask yourself these questions, Madani Channel. You need to ask yourself these questions. Why is it I do not read my namaz? You need to ask yourself these questions that why is it when I do read my namaz, I'm not reading it with concentration? Why is it when I'm reading my namaz, my concentration goes here and there? Why? These are the questions that you need to ask yourself. And you need to be aware of the fact, first and foremost is, you need to be aware of the fact of your weaknesses, your mistakes, your sins that you're committed. You know, they used to talk about the ostrich. An ostrich is a big bird that's normally you can find in Australia. And whenever something scary used to come, when people used to come to scare the animals or used to chase the animals or come to catch the animals, the ostrich, what it would do is it would bury its head in the sand. It would bury its head in the sand and think, I'm safe now. And the fact is that all he has buried is his head. The rest of his body is still there, visible, everybody can see it, they can catch it, and he thinks that by burying his head in the sand, he is safe. And viewers of Mother Channel, sometimes the Muslims, what are we doing? We're burying our heads in the sand. We're burying our heads in the sand and thinking that this isn't real, this isn't happening, this isn't a problem. But it's still a problem. We are missing our salah, viewers of Mother Channel. We're not reading our salah, and those that are reading our salah, unfortunately, we're not reading it with sincerity. We should be reading our salah, viewers of Mother Channel, with the mindset that this could be our last one. This could be our last salah. This could be our last opportunity to read our namaz. But are we? Are we, viewers of my channel? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Nisa, part 5, ayat number 142. And when they stand up for prayer, they do it unwillingly. Allah, I'll read that again, viewers of my channel. And when they stand up for prayer, they do it unwillingly. Regarding this blessed ayat, it has been mentioned in Tafsir Siratul Jinan that not offering salah or only offering salah in the presence of people, whereas not offering salah in privacy or offering salah with humility of heart and body in the presence of people and hastily in privacy, or getting into different thoughts during the salah, not making any efforts to offer salah with full concentration, are all signs of laziness. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, viewers of my channel, merely due to laziness, it is just laziness. It is pure laziness, viewers of the channel, the reason why we miss our salahs. And the reason why we are lazy is that shaitan convinces us that we haven't got time. Shaitan convinces us that we're so busy that we haven't got time for namaz. I think I mentioned, without doubt I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, viewers of the channel. I remember once we went to some solicitors, I think he was a solicitor, to do infradi koshish on him, invite him to the ishtamas and everything. And when we were talking there, we were talking about namaz, etc. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said that, you know, whenever the phone rings, I look at it and I can see the number. You know when your phone rings and it comes up with the name of the person that's ringing you. And when that person rings you, you know that this is a 30-second conversation. This is a 5-minute conversation. This is a half-hour conversation. This is a 1-hour conversation. You know straight away. So he sees the number. He says, when I see the number, I think to myself, you know what, this is a 5-minute conversation. And I think, okay, no problem. I'll pick up the phone. But sometimes that 5-minute conversation turns into 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He said, I've seen it, brother, that conversation has turned into 45, 50 minutes, and I've not been bothered. Why? I'm fulfilling my role, I'm fulfilling my duty, I'm fulfilling my responsibility. It's my job to listen to what he has to say. And so if it's taking longer, then so be it. If it's taking extra time, then so be it. And I'll listen to that conversation. I'll listen to that conversation, even if it takes an extra 40 minutes, 45 minutes, however long it takes. But when it comes to namaz, take too long. It's going to take too long. I ain't got the time. I ain't got 5 minutes. I ain't got 10 minutes. We're willing to sacrifice an extra 40 minutes on the phone call, but we're not willing to sacrifice 5 minutes, 10 minutes to read our namaz. Viewers of Mother Channel, in the same way that listening to that call, that phone call, you may say it's your job, it's your duty, it's your responsibility. In the same way, viewers of Mother Channel, you reading your namaz is your job, is your duty, is your responsibility. It is obligatory upon you, for every Muslim, sane Muslim person, to read the namaz 5 times a day. And nowadays, we see people that, you know, offer the namaz in the month of Ramadan. Month of Ramadan, what, it was a month ago. We're now in Zikat, Shawwal is gone, Ramadan is gone. In the month of Ramadan, many of us probably were habitual in reading our namaz. Many of us were probably reading our namaz with Jamaat. Many of us were spending time doing the nafils and extra ibadah during the month of Ramadan. But ask yourself, as the month of Ramadan has gone, where have we gone? Where have we gone? And this happens everywhere, viewers of the channel, that okay, nowadays we've got a bit of a situation with the lockdown, etc. But it happens around the world that you'll see it, that during the month of Ramadan, there's no room in the masjid. There's no room in the masjid. And as Ramadan goes, the masjid could be made 10 times smaller and it would still be too big for the numbers of people that are coming to Jamaat. People disappear. You know, it's as if they emigrate, they leave the country, they leave, but they don't. And all of a sudden we forget the masjid. We forget the masjid for 12 months. And only when the month of Ramadan comes that we go and have the blessings of being in the masjid. But again, viewers of Mother Channel, you need to think to yourself that if we're not going to the masjid to read a namaz, why is this? You know that when somebody comes to your home as a guest, there's different types of guests. There's that kind of guest, that one you invite to your home. And when they come to your home, you want them to stay there. You want them to stay there as long as possible. You know, they come and they say, oh, okay, I want to go. No, sit down. I'll make you a cup of tea. Sit down, I'll have something. And you try and convince them to stay. Then there are those type of guests, viewers of Mother Channel, that when they come to your home, you can't wait for them to leave. Yeah? And you're trying to steer the conversation that, oh, you're not very busy. You must be busy. You must be a very, very busy person. And you try to make them reminder of them, of their worldly thoughts, and so that they leave your home as soon as possible. Then they're then type of guest, viewers of Mother Channel, that you don't want them to enter your home. You make excuses when they say, oh, I'm busy, sorry, I'm not going to be home today. Or if you see them, you'll not even open the door. They're then type of guests. The masjid is the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla. What type of guest are we? Are we that type of guest that when we go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that with the feelings that we get there, we want to stay there longer and longer and longer? Or are we that type of guest that when we get there, that we want to leave as soon as possible? Or are we that type of guest that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not given us the tawfiq and the ability to even go to that house? What type of guest are you, viewers of Mother Channel? Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Maryam, part 16, ayat 59, and after them came the unworthy successors who squandered prayer and pursued their own desires, so they will soon encounter the forest of Ghay in hell. Viewers of Mother Channel, Ghay is mentioned in the above mentioned ayat, and it is a valley of hell. Sadr al-Sharia Mufti Muhammad Amjad Ali Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated that this is a valley in hell which is the deepest and it is the most heated one. It is a well named Hubhub. When the fire of hell is about to extinguish, Allah Azza wa Jal opens this well, due to which the fire of hell blazes as usual. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Bani Israel, ayat number 96, whenever it is about to extinguish, we will inflame it more for them. This well, viewers of Mother Channel, this well that is the worst place in the hellfire, who is it for, viewers of Mother Channel? It's for those who do not offer the salah. It is those that are adulterers, it is those that are fornicators, it is those that are drinkers, it is those that live their lives on sood, and for those people who cause trouble to their parents. Those unfortunate people will be thrown in that valley in the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and now approximately this time every day we have a daily reminder. We're now going to go to the daily reminder. What is a daily reminder? A daily reminder is something that should hopefully make us think, make us reflect, make us think of what we should be doing, basically what we're doing here on Rise and Shine, but a different topic just for a few moments. Let's listen to the daily reminder. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madi Channel, today we talk about some of the unique actions of the Sahaba Ikram alayhim wa ridwan. The unique action of the Sahaba was that they remained hungry and they lived their lives in this state. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that I used to fall between the pulpit of the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and the blessed house of Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, due to severe hunger, someone used to come and place their foot on my neck. He would regard me as insane, but I was completely sane. Extreme hunger caused this state. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madi Channel, the Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they would collapse because of the state of staying hungry. And it's mentioned regarding Sayyidina Fadhil bin Ubaid radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that when the beloved and the blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam used to lead the jamaat, the congregation of salah, there were some companions alayhim ridwan who used to fall during salah because of severe hunger. These companions was the Ahl Sufa. The bandsmen used to consider them as insane. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would finish his salah, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam used to turn towards them and say, if you knew what reward is store for you in the court of Allah azza wa jal, you would wish that your hunger and poverty would prolong even more. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mandi Channel, this was the state of the Sahaba Ikram alayhi wa rizwan. But they would remain hungry. This was the unique action of this. They lived a life in such a way that they would spend days and nights in the state of hunger. Some of the companions and saints, rahimahumullah, would stay hungry for many continuous days. In regards to this Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullah alayh has stated that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would not eat anything for 6 days. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala would not eat for 7 days. The student of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala named Abu Jawza radiallahu ta'ala did not eat for 7 days. Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayhi and Sayyidina Sufyan al-Sawri rahmatullah alayhi would remain hungry for 3 days. All these blessed saints, or rahimahumullah, would gain help in walking in the path of the hereafter by means of hunger. So my dear Islam brothers, this was a unique action of the Sahaba Ikram, the unique action of the great awliya, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazur Ghosi Azam, radiallahu ta'ala, remain hungry, would not eat anything for a whole year. This was a great miracle of Hazur-e Baghdad Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani. So my dear Islam brothers, this is such a unique action proven from the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of the Awliya, that they would remain hungry for many days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the blessing of this unique action of theirs and bless us with halal sustenance and bless us with uniqueness in our actions also. My dear Islam brothers, continue to watch the Silsilas on Madani channel and learn many of the unique ways of the pious people, rahimahullah. Ameen bijahi nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and we just heard a little reminder there about the excellence of hunger controlling our nafs. And you know, the pious people have said in the past that your stomach should be filled in thirds, yeah? One third food, one third water, and one third air. And unfortunately, if we ask ourselves nowadays, how do we fill our stomachs? It's more than one third food. It's probably 7/8 food and 1/8 water, and no room for air as well. And then we wonder why we are ill and why we are upset. And you know, last week we were talking about greed, and I was reading that it said that, you know, that greed is something that sometimes when you take more, when you're greedy for something, it can cause harm to you. In the same way, food viewers on my channel, if this table was full of food, yeah, and it's all food that I like and I'd want to eat it all, how much can I eat? There's only a certain much that I need. There's only a certain much I need that is beneficial for me. If I take more than that, then it is harmful for me. And then more than that, I can't even utilize. But unfortunately, dunya is such that we have this greed for more and more and more, that we continue to get more and more and more. And even though we don't need it, even though when we do use it, it is harmful for us as well. If we only have that greed for us, for those things that are beneficial for us, greed for the afterlife, greed for good deeds, greed for pleasing Allah, greed for reading our namaz five times a day, if only we had that greed inside us, that our lives revolved around the daily routine of five times a day namaz. And viewers of Mother Channel, that's what we're talking about today. And we were talking about before the break, the hellfire. And viewers of Mother Channel, the hellfire, the hell, what is it? The hell is a manifestation of Allah's anger and wrath. The way His mercy and blessings have no end, viewers of Mother Channel, the way His mercy and blessings have no end. Similarly, the wrath and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla has no end. And every painful thing, disease or trouble or grief, anything that you can imagine, all of the pain of this world that you can imagine, is nothing in comparison to the pain in the hellfire. And it says that if one person, if only one person was to suffer all of the diseases, all of the calamities, if one person was to suffer all of the diseases, all of the calamities that we see in this world, then that would not be equal to the lightest torment in the hellfire. Imagine having all of the diseases of this world afflicting you. Imagine all of the calamities of this world afflicting you. Imagine having all of the problems and all the pains of this world affecting you. Just imagine that situation. And we are told that all of that combined inside you, you're feeling all of it, is not equivalent to the pain, the lightest punishment in the hellfire. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, regarding the lightest punishment, the person who will be given the lightest torment of the hellfire will be weighed to wear shoes of fire, due to which his brain will boil as the copper pot boils. He will feel that he has been tormented the most, although he is being made to suffer the lightest torment. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Malachan, we need to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. Fear the torments of the hellfire. Have mercy on our weak bodies. And it is extremely sad, viewers of Malachan, that we continue to miss our salah due to being occupied with useless talks and useless activities. And we don't realize that we're constantly disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every time we are missing our namaz, we are disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. We are disobeying Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then we wonder why we are in this situation, viewers of Mother Channel. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded us to read the Quran commanded us in the Quran to read our salah so many times. We are told about the graves, we're told about the terrors in the graves, we're told about the torment of the hellfire, and yet still we fail to do it. Remember, viewers of the channel, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to continue to say it until, you know, the drops make a change in the landscape, so to speak. Fard, namaz is fard upon us, obligatory upon every adult, sane and Muslim, male and female. It is obligatory upon us. The one who does not consider salah to be fard is out of Islam. even though his names and his other acts are Muslims. The person who considers Salah to be obligatory or misses even one Salah debility is an extreme transgressor, sinner, and deserver of the torment of the hellfire. Ala Hazrat, listen to this views of Munisham. Ala Hazrat, Imam al-Sunnah, Mulana Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ramatullah Ta'ala said that the one who deliberately misses a single Salah deserves to be in the hellfire for 1,000 years until he repents and does its qaza. One Salah you missed. You missed one Salah. How many excuses do we make for missing one Salah, viewers of Malaysia? We're traveling somewhere. We're on the motorway. We're going to London, to Scotland, wherever it is we're going. The time for Salah is coming. And you know that your journey is another 2 or 3 hours. You know that your journey is another 2 or 3 hours. You've got 1 hour for namaz. What are you going to do? Are you going to stop? Are you going to find a service station? Are you going to look somewhere to stop, appropriate to read your namaz? How many of us carry the prayer mats, the janamaz in our cars? How many of us carry bottles of water in our cars so that we can perform wuzu in the event that we're in a situation where we are stuck? You know, when we're traveling, you know, we carry bottles of water to drink. We carry some crisps and chocolates there as snacks so that we can get through the journey. We make a flask of tea so that we can make the journey. But how many of us carry our janamas in there, our prayer mats in there, carry bottles for wuzu in there to make sure that in the event that we have to stop and read our namaz somewhere, we can do it? We'll make provisions to feed our body. We will not make provisions to feed our soul. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Money Channel, listen to this. It is narrated that a person was going somewhere in the jungle and Shaitan decided to accompany him. And this person, he did not offer salat throughout the whole day. And as the night fell, Shaitan started escaping from him. Surprised, the person asked him as to why he was escaping. Listen to this, viewers of Money Channel. Shaitan replied, "I only refused to perform sajda before Sayyidina Adam al-Islam once throughout my life. And so I was the accursed one. Today you have missed all 5 salah. I'm feeling scared lest the wrath befall upon you and I shall also become its victim." Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Even Shaitan runs away, is scared of that person that reads his namaz 5 times a day because the wrath, the torment of Allah Azza wa Jalla may fall on that person. Why are we doing it, viewers of Malaysia? Why can we not find time? Why are we so engrossed in dunya? Why are we so busy making these things? And you know, if you want comfort in your heart, you know, a saying came to my mind, I can't remember it now, that, you know, when you go to sleep, and it said that Shaitan puts locks on you. And when you wake up for Fajr, that first lock is untied. When you go and perform wuzu, that second lock is untied. When you perform Fajr, the namaz, that third lock is untied. And for the rest of the day, you remain fresh and strong. But if you don't read namaz, then the 3 locks remain on you for the rest of the day. And you know, ask those people. And you know, okay, like don't ask them people. Try reading your namaz. And if you don't read your namaz 5 times a day. And you will yourself feel a spiritual change inside yourself. You'll see yourself change, you'll feel spiritually, I don't know, uplifted. You'll feel spiritually clean, you'll feel fresh as energy, you'll feel this guilt lifting from you. And why will you feel this guilt? Because as every Muslim, we know that it's obligatory to read our namaz 5 times a day. And lucky is that person, viewers of Malaysia, that his nafs is saying to them that, look, something's wrong here. Your inner self is saying that, look, you're missing your namaz, there's something wrong here. But unfortunately, some people get so low that they miss the namaz and they don't feel anything. The inner self doesn't feel anything whatsoever. They become so low, so away from the deen of Islam that they don't feel any guilt whatsoever when they miss our namaz. Have we become that low? Have we become that low that we completely ignore the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal? Completely ignore the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal? If that is the case, then you need to ask yourself, where am I going? Where is my ultimate abode? What am I going to achieve? Where will I be in the future? Yes, I might be in America, I might be in Canada, I might be here, I might be there, I might be in Dubai, I might have this, I might have that house, I might be in London, I might be in Paris, I might be all these places in this dunya, but where will you be in your afterlife? If you're living your life like that now, ask yourself, where will you live? And you know, people have this this attitude, my life, my rules. Yeah, people say, my life, it's my life, my rules. I can do what I want. I don't have to read my namaz. It's my life. It's not your life. You know, why is it it's my life, my rules when it comes to reading your namaz? But it's not my life, my rules when it comes to taking medicine that the doctor has prescribed to you. Why is it my life, my rules when it comes to reading your namaz? But it's not my life, my rules when the boss says you need to be at work at 9 o'clock in the morning. Why is it my life, my rules when it comes to reading your namaz, but when it comes to claiming for tax and claiming for these benefits and this is the way you have to do it, you have to do this, it's not my life, my rules. Why is it my life, my rules when it comes to reading your namaz, but it's not my life, my rules where you're told, look, if you want to get this certificate, you have to pass this exam, you have to do this, you have to do this, this assessment, you have to do this and you do this. You don't say to him, why it's my life, my rules, just give me the certificate. Why do you not say to the doctor, look, it's my life, my rules, I want to get well without taking the medicine. Why don't you just say to your boss, it's my life, my rules, I'll turn up when I want to turn up. Try doing that. Try doing that and see how long my life, my rules lives. It doesn't work, viewers of my channel. Our life, my rules, doesn't work. We live our lives according to rules. Otherwise, if there were no rules, there'd be anarchy in society. Anarchy in our lives. And what is happening is because we're not living our lives according to the rules that were prescribed to us by Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's anarchy in our soul. There's anarchy in our lives. And that is why we are in the state that we're in, the state of destruction, viewers of my channel, that we are not performing our namaz. And it's because of this. Whatever, you know, I've said it before, that if you want to find out the source of your problems, and nowadays every household has a problem. Every household has a problem, and it's some sort of problem. There is some sort of problem going on in every household. Financial problems, family problems, spouse problems, children problems, parent problems, some sort of tension in the household. If you want to see the source of that problem, when you get up in the morning, you go to the washroom to wash your hands and face, look in the mirror, and in 90% of the time, the problem that you are facing today in your life is looking at you in that mirror every single day. Look at ourselves. Look at our weaknesses. Look at our problems. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we're trying to achieve in this world. And you'll realize that because of us, we are facing these difficulties. Are we reading my 5 times in namaz? And yes, okay, even if we are reading our 5 times in namaz, are we reading it with sincerity? Are we reading it with the thought that this is my opportunity to present myself in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla? I remember someone once, he said to me that when he's learning some ayahs of the Quran, and when he's finally learned them ayahs of the Quran, he becomes so happy. And when someone asked him, why are you so happy that you've learned these ayahs of the Quran, these new ayahs of the Quran? He said, I'm so happy that I'll be able to use these words when I speak to Allah Azza wa Jalla in my namaz. When I'm doing the namaz and the time comes to recite some verses of the Quran, I'll be able to recite these verses. I'll be able to speak this to Allah Azza wa Jalla in my namaz. Allahu Akbar. We go all our lives and we learn Surah Ikhlas and that's it. And that's our namaz. Because our namaz just becomes an action. It becomes something that we do. Again, viewers of my channel, no matter how much, whether you, if you don't read your namaz, you need to read your namaz. If you read your namaz, you need to improve your namaz. And you can continually beautify and improve your namaz. And again, this all comes with knowledge of viewers of my channel. Viewers of my channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And normally, approximately at this time, we have the daily hadith. We're going to go to the hadith of the day now, inshallah, azza wa jal. And let's see what we're going to learn today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah, in today's daily hadith, I will be sharing a hadith in regards to a beautiful sunnah, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُكَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنْدَ كُلِّ سَلَاةِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, had I not found it difficult upon my ummah, I would have instructed, I would have commanded them that they use the miswak for every salah. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, from this hadith we can understand how much importance and emphasis has been made upon using the miswak. Alongside there being many hygienical and medical benefits of using the miswak, the greatest virtue of using the miswak, of course, is that it is the sunnah of Rasulullah
and it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, the miswak, it pleases the Rahman and it displeases the shaitan. Using the miswak, it graces an individual with the presence, with the company of the angels. And through using the miswak, one is able to elevate his status in Jannah. Also, the miswak aids a person in the pangs of death. And the salah which is performed after using the miswak, its reward is also multiplied by 70. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, why don't you also make the intention to use the miswak? Now, how do we use the miswak? When do we use the miswak? To learn about all these manners and many other Madani pearls in regards to miswak, I encourage you to read the booklet of written by Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, entitled Blessings of Miswak, which can be purchased at your nearest Maktabatul Madina, or alternatively, you can download it on the website of Dawat Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the privilege of being able to make use of this beautiful miswak and ultimately act upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We just had a daily hadith with regards to miswak, and you saw also on the screen the virtues of miswak, the blessings of miswak. It's a booklet that you can download from our website, www.dawatislami.net. You can go there to booklets. There are many, many books available there. That's just one of them that you can download completely free of charge. They are available in many, many different languages. So if you know people around the world, you know, give them, send them the links. And inshallah, by you sending them the links of them books that are translated into them languages and they download them, they read them, and then inshallah, you'll benefit from them. And we should do this, viewers of Madhi channel. We should not only keep knowledge for ourselves, but we should invite people to the path of righteousness as well. It is stated, viewers of Madhi channel, that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he asked Allah, what is the reward? What is the reward for inviting someone to the path of righteousness? What is the reward for giving someone neki ki dawat? And Allah Azza wa Jalla replied that for every word that is spoken, 1 year's ibadat, 1 year's worship will be written in his book of deeds. And you know, whenever I heard that, and I've heard it many, many times, and maybe you've heard it as well, viewers of Madhi channel, that in there, Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't say that, you know, if someone is successful inviting someone. No, your job is to invite. Your job is to invite someone to the path of righteousness. In the same way, viewers of Madhi channel, the farmer's job is to plant the seed. Once he's planted the seed, his job is done. The rest is left up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the same way, viewers of Madhi channel, if we keep on planting the seeds of righteousness, keep on inviting people to Salah, inviting people to the masjid, inviting people to acquire the knowledge of the deen, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla, we will get the reward as well. And we pray and we hope that when we invite people to the path of righteousness, that they benefit from it, they succeed in making a change in their lives as well. Viewers of Madhi channel, today, we are talking about the importance of Salah. And I want to give you some hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to this. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that my Khalil sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised me, do not make anyone the partner of Allah Azza wa Jalla, even though you have been cut into pieces or burnt. Do not deliberately miss Fard Salah, because the one who deliberately misses Salah, protection is lifted from him. And do not drink wine at all, because it is the root of all evil. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who misses Salah will meet Allah Azza wa Jal in the state that he will have his wrath upon him. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who misses Salah decreases his family and his wealth. In another hadith, the one who deliberately misses Salah is undoubtedly out of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that the person who does not offer Salah is not protected by Allah Azza wa Jal. By virtue of a Salah, a person is protected from disasters in the world, loss of faith at the time of death, being unsuccessful in the test of the grave, and the calamities on the day of judgment. Now I'm going to pause for a second there. The reason being is that we mentioned four hadiths there. We mentioned the words of Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullah Ta'ala. What effect did they have on us? Did they make us sit up and think? Did they make us think, oh, you know what, I need to sort myself out? Or was it just something else that we just heard? We just heard these hadiths, that we hear them every day, we hear them every Friday, the Jummah, and we're not bothered about it. And we're not affected by it. You know, nowadays, viewers of Madhyana here in the UK and in a lot of places around the world, motorways are fitted with cameras, roads are fitted with cameras. And what happens is these cameras, they detect whether you're speeding, they detect whether you're going through a red light, junctions, you go through the red light or not. And what happens is as a result of that, if you do go through a red light, if you are speeded, a picture is taken of your car, the registration number, and automatically a bill, a fine, comes to your house, and you get points on your license or whatever it is. And all around the world, there are different things. And wherever they have these cameras, some sort of punishment, financial punishment, is there for that person. And so what happens is a person does his utmost best that to drive at a reasonable speed, to make sure he doesn't go through the red lights, to make sure he's not breaking the law, and make sure that ultimately he doesn't want to get fined. And so nowadays cars are fitted with cruise controls. Nowadays we check and we slow down in advance at the cameras, and we take all sorts of precautions to make sure that we are not fined. Viewers of Mother Channel, if technology existed to monitor every Muslim's time, what he is doing. You know, some people believe that that time is already there, that people can watch you and see what you are doing. If technology existed and it was utilized in such a way that every time a Muslim missed his namaz, then a $10, 10 euro, 10 pound, 20 rand, 50 rand fine came to your home every time you missed your salah. Now what would you do? Now you would sit up and listen. Now you would take it serious. Now you would look into the law, you would read the exact law and say, oh, so there's no loophole in this, I have to read my namaz. For $10, for 10 euros, for 10 rand, for 100 rupees, you'll not miss your salah. But when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that protection is lifted from you, you run the risk of losing your iman at that difficult time. When we are told the punishment's in the grave, when we are told that it's as if you've lost all of your family, when we're told all of these things, no effect. But $10, 10 euros, 10 pound, I'm not going to miss my salah. Isn't that where we're going wrong, viewers of the channel? Isn't that where we're going wrong, that our priorities are all in this dunya, that if we're afraid of the punishment in this world. And when I say punishment, I'm not talking about punishments that are in that. We're talking about financial punishment. We're afraid of being fined $10. We're afraid of this. We're afraid of that. You know, we'll make sure our cars are taxed. We'll make sure that our cars are, so that we're not fined. We're not punished. We don't get a fine at our home. We'll make sure that this doesn't happen, that doesn't happen. We'll make sure all of those things are there in place. But when it comes to those things, that will have the ultimate fine. The fine that we will never be able to, you know, people, some people think, well, you know, if I'm fine, so what, I can afford it. Yeah, I can afford it. Well, it's only £50, only £50, it's only £100, I can afford it. And so they're not bothered about it. The fine and the punishment that you'll get on the Day of Judgment, we're told that the lightest punishment, if all of the calamities, we're told earlier on, all of the calamities, all of the illnesses of this dunya were to come forward and be afflicted on that one person, then he could not withstand that. And that would be not even equivalent to the lightest punishment in the hellfire. So never think to yourself, you know, I'm a strong person, I'll be able to take it. No, you won't be able to take it. Allahu Akbar. Never think that, viewers of Mother Channel, that you're strong enough to take the punishment of the hellfire. Never have this mentality that, you know what, I'll see. You know, they say, people say in Urdu, dekha jayega na? Dekha jayega. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll see. We'll see. You will see. But viewers of Mother Channel, I don't want you to see. I don't want you to see what will happen. I want you to change now. I want you to change now so you don't face that. You don't face that punishment in the dark and lonely grave. You don't face that punishment in the hellfire. We heard at the beginning about that sister that she was buried because, and there was a blazing fire in her grave. Why? Because she missed her namaz, or she read her namaz late. We don't want that. We don't want it for any Muslim around the world, viewers of Mother Channel. We don't want it for any of the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why we're continuously, consistently preaching and saying and advising people to read the namaz on a daily basis. Why are we constantly, why is Madani Channel here, viewers of Madani Channel? Madani Channel here is to protect the Ummah so that the Ummah don't face them calamities in that dark and lonely grave. The Muslim Ummah don't face that calamities when they're crossing the bridge of Sirat. The Muslim Ummah don't face that calamities on the day of judgment. And that's why we're here, viewers of Madani Channel, to try and rectify ourselves. And that's why Dawah's Islami is here, that I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world. So please, viewers of Madani Channel, try and reflect on what is happening to you, where your lives are going, and what you need to do. Viewers of Madani Channel, we have a package today with regarding to a story of one of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm hoping that we can learn something today. Let's go to this unique package that you can only watch on Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم سيدنا يونس عليه السلام in the stomach of a fish. Nineveh, it was a big city of Mosul. People of the area were idol worshippers and were indulged in unbelief and polytheism. سيدنا يونس عليه السلام commanded them to abandon idol worshipping and embrace the true faith, but these people refuted the Rasul of Allah Azza wa Jal and denied to embrace the true faith due to their insolence and wickedness. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam warned them that very soon a divine torment will strike them. After listening to this warning, the people of the city consulted one another that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam has never told a lie. Therefore, keep an eye on Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. If he alayhi salam stays in this city overnight, then it means that there is no danger. But if he alayhi salam does not spend the night in this city, then we should expect the onset of the divine torment. At night, the people saw that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam has left the city. And indeed in the morning, the signs of the divine torment appeared, because black clouds started emerging from all four sides and darkness fell over the whole city with a smoke from everywhere. Witnessing this, the people of the city realized that the torment would now definitely strike them. Therefore, in the quest of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, the people started searching for him. But Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam could not be found far and wide. Now the people of the city became even more terrified. Therefore, they started trembling in the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. They all took their women, children, along with their cattle, wearing threadbare and torn clothes, and went to the jungle, crying and repenting. They sincerely committed to embrace faith in Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Husbands separated from wives and mothers separated from their children, and all of them engaged in seeking absolution and were weeping bitterly in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. They started seeking pardon for all of the oppression and violations regarding mutual rights. In short, all of them repented sincerely and promised Allah Azza wa Jal that they have firm belief in the message of Allah Azza wa Jal brought by Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal had mercy on the sincere repenting of the inhabitants of the city and the torment turned away. All of a sudden, the hazy clouds and smoke disappeared and all of the people came back to the city and resumed living with peace and comfort. Allah Azza wa Jal described this event in the Holy Quran in the following words. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman. So why has there not been people of a village who should have believed? So its belief would have benefited the nation of Yunus. When they accepted faith, we removed the disgraceful punishment from them in the life of this world and let them benefit for a while. It means that it does not benefit the people to embrace faith once the divine torment of Allah Azza wa Jal has commenced. But despite the clouds of the divine torment commenced towards the people of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, the torment was still withdrawn from them a upon embracing the true faith. It is mentioned in Tabarani that when the signs of the divine torment were at the onset in the city of Nineveh, and Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam was not found by the people, even after a thorough search, the people of the city became worried and they approached the famous religious scholar of the city, who was a faithful believer and a spiritual luminary of those times. They all entreated him. He advised them to supplicate after reciting the invocation, Ya Hayyu Hina La Hayya, Wa Ya Hayyu Yuhyil Mauta, Wa Ya Hayyu La Ilaha Illa Anta. Therefore, the people supplicated after reciting invocation. Consequently, the torment was withdrawn. After the withdrawal of the torment, when Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam arrived near the city, he alayhi salam did not find any signs of the torment on the city. The people asked him to join his people. He alayhi salam replied, "How can I go back to my people? I had left the city after revealing the news of the divine torment to them, but same did not happen. Now those people will kill me, considering me a liar." Out of anger, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam left the city and embarked a boat. When the boat reached the middle of the sea, it stopped. According to an established tradition in those times, only that boat would jam in the midst of the sea that carried some fugitive slave. Therefore, the passengers held the draw and the name of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam came out. The passengers threw him into the sea and departed. When Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam fell down into the water, a fish swallowed him at once, and he alayhi salam became confined in the stomach of the fish, where there was an utter darkness. Under these circumstances, he alayhi salam commenced invoking, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. By virtue of this invocation, Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him, freed him from that dark cell, and the fish ejected him out of her mouth at the bank of the sea. He alayhi salam had gone very weak by that time. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, the plant of gourd grew there, and he alayhi salam used to take rest under its shade. Afterwards, when he alayhi salam regained some energy, he alayhi salam went back to his people, and all of the people treated him with utmost love and reverence and embraced faith unto him. What is the moral of this story? Number one, from the event of the people of Nineveh, the moral lesson we get is that whenever any calamity strikes any nation in the form of a torment, then the only remedy is to engage in supplications after repenting. One can then hope that the most merciful Allah Azza wa Jal will shower his blessings and the torment will be withdrawn. Number two, from the heart trembling trials faced by Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, we learned how Allah Azza wa Jal puts his chosen people into trial. But when these chosen people observe steadfastness and do not become negligent in the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, despite being struck with troubles, then Allah Azza wa Jal arranges means of their salvation from the unseen that are beyond imagination. Just ponder over the fact that when the people of the boat threw Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam into the sea, were there any means of his survival and safety? Then the fish swallowed him. Now, who was the savior of his life? But when he alayhi salam invoked ayate kareema, under those circumstances, Allah Azza wa Jal kept him alive and safe, even inside the stomach of the fish. Moreover, Allah Azza wa Jal rescued him from the stomach of the fish towards a field. Afterwards, Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed him with good health and peace, and took him back to his native land, and more than 100,000 people embraced the right path by virtue of his preaching. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. We just heard a small package there about a story of one of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Again, you know, it's something that we don't have that knowledge, do we? We don't have the knowledge of our pious predecessors. We don't have the knowledge of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't have the knowledge of how the lives of the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We don't have the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, it's a state of where we are today, and we need to reflect on that and make a change. Viewers of the channel, we've been talking about the importance of Salah, and we mentioned some hadiths before the break. We're going to mention some ayats of the Quran now, and then inshallah we'll mention some parables towards the end of the program. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in ayah 238 Surah Baqarah, guard your prayers, and particularly the middle prayer, and stand with reverence before Allah Azza wa Jalla. Viewers of the channel, the importance of Salah can also be judged by the fact that the beloved of Nabi of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, also made dua for himself and his offspring, especially about offering Salah, which has been mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, ayat number 40. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O my Lord, keep me as the one who establishes prayer and some of my descendants, O our Lord, and accept my prayer. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, on the Day of Judgment, the very first question that you will be asked about is your Salah. And it is stated in a hadith that on the Judgment Day, the first of all, a question will be asked about his Salah. Alama Abdul Rauf Manawi Ramatullahi Ta'ala stated the blessed hadith that undoubtedly Salah is a sign of Iman and an important act of worship. A person came to the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked a question about the best deed. And he asked the question three times, what is the best deed? What is the best deed? What is the best deed? And three times the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, Salah. Salah is the best deed. Salah is the best deed. Salah is the best deed. Viewers of my channel, the first question you're going to be asked, the very first question that you're going to be asked on the Day of Judgment will be about your Salah. The very first question. And you know when, you know they say that when you meet someone and first impressions, you know, matter. You know, when you meet someone, what do you first think about them? What are your first impressions about that person? And it reflects, your first impressions about that person reflects on what you think about that person. And if the first thing that we are going to be asked about, we are going to be questioned about, is Salah on the Day of Judgment, and we are failing to that, ask yourself, what is going to happen to us? We fail at the first hurdle. You failed at the first hurdle. What happens, what will happen, viewers of the channel, if we fail at that first hurdle, and as a result of us failing at that first hurdle, you know, some people, what happens is they go for a driving test, yeah? They go for a driving test, and when they go for the driving test here in the UK, what happens is, the first part of the test is the eyesight test. So what they'll do is before you get in the car, you're asked to read a number plate. And they say, can you read that number plate over there on that car? And you'll read the number plate, yeah? Now, if you get it right, then they'll let you get in the car and take the rest of the test. But if you get that wrong, they'll say, there you are, failed, go home. Failed, go home, you know? Come back when your eyesight's sorted out and you failed the test. You've not even able to take the complete test. Viewers of Madhuri Channel, if as a result of this first question, we are failed, and as a result of this first question, we're thrown into the hellfire. As a result of this first question, all those other good deeds that you have done in your life, all them hajj that you performed, all them masjids that you built, all them wells that you looked after, all them orphans that you looked after, all them poor people that you looked after, if as a result of that first question, you are failed, then what is the rest? In the same way, you know, it comes to the driving test, you may be the best driver in the world. You may be the best driver in the world, but you failed at the beginning. You failed right at the beginning before you've even got in the car. The first question, viewers of Madhi Channel, will be about our Salah. Allahu Akbar. And viewers of Madhi Channel, despite knowing the importance of Salah, if someone does not offer Salah, he is making himself deserving of the hellfire. And, you know, offering Salah is the source of worldly and hereafter privileges. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, and those who establish prayer and give charity, believe in Allah on the last day, we shall soon give them a great reward. A great reward. And if Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying a great reward, it's not like winning, you know, £5, £10, £100, £5,000, £1 million. No, the great reward, Allahu Akbar. That reward that never finishes, that reward that lasts for eternity. The gardens of paradise are there for those people who please Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allahu Akbar. In ayah 3 and 4 of Surah Al-Nafal, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, those who keep the prayer established and spend some in our path from what we have provided for them, These are the true Muslims. For them are ranks with the Lord and forgiveness and the honorable systems. Allahu Akbar. Something interesting in this ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and spend some in our path from what we have provided for you. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal provided for you. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that wealth. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that money. You may think you work hard, you may think you study hard, you may think you've achieved it. Whatever you have got, viewers of Money Channel, all the money that you've got, all the status that you've got, all the wealth that you've got is all given to you from Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever blessing you have got is given to you from Allah Azza wa Jal. And on the day of judgment, you'll be asked about every single blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal bestowed upon you. And fortunate is he who uses these blessings in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Fortunate is he who spends some of what Allah Azza wa Jal has given him in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because on the day of judgment, every single penny, every single pesa, every single rupee that you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will see the benefit from. In another ayat, in Surah Maidah, ayat 12, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and Allah said, indeed I am with you. Surely, if you keep your prayer established and pay your zakat, and believe in my messengers and respect them, and lend Allah Azza wa Jal a good loan, I will surely wipe out your sins, and I will surely admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Fortunate are those brothers, viewers of Money Channel, that have the opportunity to please Allah Azza wa Jal. Fortunate are those people that on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will say, go enter into paradise without accountability. Fortunate are those. Because without doubt, viewers of Money Channel, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to us, I will surely wipe out your sins and I will surely admit you to gardens beneath which rivers flow. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Money Channel, we're going to take a small break there before we come to the end of the program. We have a small package that we want to run from you. I believe it is Mufti Qasim. And whenever Mufti Qasim speaks, without doubt, his great words of wisdom. So let's listen to some words of Mufti Qasim. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We come to know that the real purpose of creation of human being is ibadat. But ibadat is very heavy upon nafs as well. Is there any ibadat which is not heavy and burden upon the nafs? Because nafs, you know, runs away from ibadat.
Sometimes the person has to face some difficulty and hardship for performing any kind of ibadat. But human being is human being. Allah Azza wa Jal has created them with energy, with willpower, with many other qualities which are not found in other creations. That's why human being is best of the creation. They are called Ashraful Makhlukat. If they spend their life in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and they spend their life in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and they fulfill the rights of Allah as well as the rights of the human being, then they will be preferred. They will get excellence over angels. Even over angels, they will get excellence. Why? Because they have willpower, they have energy, and they can do whatever they want to do. So that's why, though there are some difficulties in doing worships, but the person has to face that. That's why he gets some reward. In worldly life, we observe without facing any difficulty and hardship, we can't get any worldly benefit and advantage in this life. So what about the rewards of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment in the paradise? So that's why the people have to face some hardships for getting the reward and for performing worships.
Acha Mufsab, how can one turn the heaviness of ibadat into easiness?
For that purpose, I think first the person, the Muslim, should adopt prayer, invocation, supplication as their weapons. As it is mentioned in one hadith, Ad-du'au silahul mu'min. Invocation is the weapon of a mu'min, is a weapon of a believer. So that's why we should adopt supplications in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we should pray in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, oh Allah, please make these worships easy for us. So when we pray in the court of Allah, so it happens sometimes before that we feel that worship very difficult, but after that, that becomes very convenient and very comfortable for us. So adopting invocations, that is very useful. The second thing is, in beginning, in most of the matters which are not befitting with our mood and which is not befitting our nature, our baser nature basically, so we face some problem and we feel inconvenient, in discomfort. But when we do that repeatedly, after a while, after a few days, sometime after a few weeks, that comes into our habit. For example, the first time when a child is sent to school, so what is his condition? He would say, I will kill those people who will send me to school. I will never go to school. Okay? It happens with many children. In beginning, they say these words. But after that, on holiday, they say, I have to go to school.
It also.
Because then they get delight of going to school and they enjoy school life. They enjoy gathering. They enjoy sitting with their friends and playing with them. So that is our, you can say, that is one kind of our nature. It happens to everyone. So in beginning, sometimes offering prayer is considered very difficult. But after a while, when we offer prayer repeatedly, so after a while, alhamdulillah, sometimes it happens. As soon as azan is recited and that is announced, the person immediately go to masjid. And he loves going to masjid. He loves offering prayer. He loves the time in which he can offer prayer in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So it depends upon our practice. If we practice that again and again, so then inshallah we will develop the love and liking of worship. And that is one of the best way to develop the love and liking of worship. That is the second thing. The third thing is that if we need the reward and the excellence of worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that is our nature, that we incline to that thing in which we find some excellence, we find some reward. So sometimes we know when we read the excellences of offering prayer and offering nawafil, when we listen to the reward of offering prayer, for a few days we get a lot of energy, we get a lot of khushu, khuzu, we get a lot of motivation. After a few days we lose that and our motivation disappeared. But commonly we have seen whenever we listen to the excellences, whenever we read the excellences of offering prayer, so we get motivation and encouragement. So that is the third best way to read the excellences of prayer and other worships as well. Whatever worship we read about, so we get get motivation regarding that. That is the third thing. The fourth thing is to sit in the company of worshippers who have dedicated their life to worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we sit in the company of worshippers, so then we will get motivation. And that is a very natural thing, because the people get inspired by looking at other people. Whatever they look in other people, so they get inspired in the same thing. Particularly if we look at children who are worshipper and who are very punctual in offering 5-time prayers, so we will feel some shyness in our heart. This child is offering 5-time prayers. This child is offering 20 tarawih. This child is reciting the Holy Quran 2 para, 3 para daily, and I am a man and I am unable to do that. What a shameful thing for me. So we get inspired by other people. So that's why if we sit in the company of pious people and the worshipper, so then we will get motivation from them. And the another thing is, if we read about paradise, about the blessings of paradise, about the favors which we will be provided in paradise, so then we will get a lot of motivation, because paradise is very close to our nature, because we are bound to convenience and comforts and blessings and favors. So when we read the verses of the Holy Quran regarding paradise, what are the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal in paradise? For example, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّذِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسِنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. They are rivers of water and honey and milk and other bounties, the gardens of paradise, the blessings of paradise. So when we recite the Holy Quran and when we read these favors of paradise, so that time we get a lot of motivation. So if we look at these favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, so it would be very useful for us, and it will make worships very easy for us and free from any difficulty and any hardship.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, and you just listened to some wise words there from the great scholar Mufti Qasim, mashallah Azza wa Jal. I've had the blessed opportunity of sitting with him and learning so much from him. And you know, you can sit with him for a few moments and things that maybe you have been struggling to understand, struggling to try and conceive, struggling to try and get in your head how to solve these problems, you sit in front of these scholars and you present the problem in front of them. And literally, you know, literally within seconds, they've cleared your mind and you think to yourself, why is it taking me so long to understand this? Viewers of Mother Channel, this is the status of the scholars. This is the status of the muftis. And I remember that Mufti Qasim, he came to the UK. Sorry, I'm going to go slightly off the topic here. But he came to the UK here. And I remember once he was doing this speech. And before the speech, the Imam Sahib of the Masjid, he introduced him. Yeah. Although it's not the Tarqib of the Aslami, we don't introduce people or anything like that. But this Imam Sahib, he because it was his Masjid, he introduced him. And during the speech, there was a friend of mine, he was crying all the way. All the way through the speech, he's crying. And I'm looking at him. I'm looking at what Mufti Qasim is saying. I'm looking at him and thinking, Mufti Qasim, mashallah, he's giving us knowledge today, but he's not talking about those things that would normally make us cry. And at the end of the speech, when the gathering had finished, I went to the brother and I said, brother, can you explain to me, maybe my heart has turned to stone. Why were you crying? What was it? What words were it of Mufti Qasim that he spoke that made you cry? And he said to me, brother, it wasn't the words of Mufti Qasim that made me cry. It was the words of the Imam Sahib before Mufti Qasim stood up that made me cry. And I said, what do you mean? He said he mentioned his age. He mentioned the age of Mufti Qasim, and I realized that my age is the same age of Mufti Qasim. And I look at myself and I look at Mufti Qasim and I think to myself, where has my life gone? Where has my life gone? And look at what Mufti Qasim's done with his life. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, something to reflect on. Only 1 minute left, and I want to finish with this one incident, one story that I want to read with you. There was a person, viewers of Mother Channel, he fell in love with a woman. And wherever he go, all he could think about was this woman. He wanted to marry this woman. He wanted to have relationships with this woman. So he sent a letter. He sent a love letter to this woman. And this woman, when she received the letter, although she was very flattered, but she was married. And obviously she didn't want to break any rules or anything like that. She didn't want to commit any sins. And so what she did is, very wisely, she presented the letter to her husband and said to her husband that this letter has arrived. What should I do with it? Now, before you go and think to yourself, if this was to happen in your household, what would you do? Now, this letter, when it was received by the husband, he was a very wise person as well. And he was also the Imam of the Masjid. He said, write a letter. I will write a letter. And he wrote a letter. And the letter he wrote, it was as if it was written by the woman. So he wrote this letter to the lover and saying that, if you wish to meet me, then go and read your namaz with Jamaat for 40 days. If you read your namaz for 40 days with Jamaat, after 40 days, I will meet you. So the lover, when he received the letter, he thought to himself, this is okay, this is easy, I'll do this. So he started reading his namaz with Jamaat after 40 days. And after 40 days, he wrote a letter to his lover. And he said, I don't want to see you. 40 days ago, I was in love with you. Now, I realize, and I'm now in love with Allah Azza wa Jalla. I am in love with my namaz, and I will not be distracted from any of this. That namaz, viewers of Mother Channel, is also a cure for diseases as well. So today, when we are facing all our problems, when we have all this problem, this virus is going on, that illness is happening, this illness is happening, these problems are in society, read your namaz. Read your namaz. And viewers of Mother Channel, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, as the situation increases and improves, the Madani Kafilas will begin to travel. And when these Madani Kafilas travel, the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be traveling. Join them so that you can check your namaz, improve your namaz, beautify your namaz. There's a beautiful booklet on www.dawaslami.net, the Book of Salah, available in English, in Urdu and other languages as well. Download that book, read that notebook. Many of the things that I mentioned today, probably all the things that I mentioned today, are in that book as well. So read that book and improve your salah as well. Viewers of Madani Channel, you've been watching Arise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. Even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.